Christina, two moms who learned the hard way that there's a lot we wish we knew about pregnancy and parenting.
So now we're asking experts all the questions, sharing what we've learned and what we're still figuring out, and keeping it real along the way. Welcome to What I Wish I Knew.
Today we're diving into a topic that somehow manages to be both super important and widely misunderstood: nutrition, specifically during trying to conceive, pregnancy, and postpartum.
We brought in Haley Miskowick, a registered dietitian who specializes in fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum nutrition. She's been doing this for over a decade, and let's just say she knows her S-H-I-T. So let's go! Haley, thank you so much for being here with us today. We are so excited to learn about nutrition with you. I feel like this is such an underrated topic.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'm excited.
Just to get started, let's learn a little bit more about you for anybody who doesn't follow you on Instagram, which they should. Do you want to give a quick intro?
Yeah. So I'm Haley Miskowick. I'm a registered dietitian. I specialize in the fertility and the pregnancy postpartum space. So every phase of your journey. I've been a dietitian for over 10 years now. I've kind of lost count, to be honest with you guys. I think when I hit the 10-year mark, I was like, yep, we're good. Milestone's done. I'm over on Instagram at prenatal.nutritionist.
That's awesome. I've been following you for a while now before I got pregnant with my second, and I've learned so much from you. What was your journey to becoming a dietitian, and why did you decide to focus on the trying to conceive, pregnancy, postpartum period?
Yeah, so becoming a dietitian kind of found me. I wanted to be a lawyer, was really what I went to college for. But during a mentorship during high school, actually, the lawyer told me, find something you love and that you're passionate about, because you can go to law school with whatever you want to do, with whatever degree you get. So make it something fun and that you like to do. So your 4 years, one, you have something to fall back on if you decide you don't want to be a lawyer. And two, it makes it easier to get good grades, and really all they're looking for is a good GPA. So I went to, orientation, and my counselor kind of said, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I just got this like new news that I don't need to do like pre-law. And so she kind of just like sat there and asked me questions, passions, all that. And then gave me like the nutrition kinesiology were my two spots. And I really resonated within the nutrition space. So I decided to pursue that. After my 4 years of college and then doing my dietetic internship, I actually got hired on during my dietetic internship at the end in the Women, Infant, and Children program. So the WIC program, as many people know it as. And that's kind of where my passion really started. I would say my passion really started during my college career, when I learned about, I had a professor who was really big into research on breastfeeding and milk composition changes during the journey. And it blew my mind on just how like milk changes and how the body could tell what baby needed and all these things. So I was very fascinated by that. But then so that kind of stuck with me. And then when I got hired on in the Women, Infant, and Children program, I really saw firsthand how like little nutrition support women were getting like during their pregnancy and like their postpartum space. And oftentimes, I'm still seeing women in between their pregnancies before their next one comes, as we're supporting kids up to the age of 5. But I saw that they're just being like really overwhelmed by like, how am I supposed to be eating? How am I supposed to be feeding my kids? Like all of these things, and just were like really exhausted and like unsure of what they were doing. And so I really fell in love there. I continued my career to a Head Start agency where I got to be a nutrition services coordinator. So got to do a lot of different things with educating families on like the power of like real food, like how to do family style meal service and balance like nutrition for like moms and their little ones. And then got to do a lot of like farm like farm to school, farm to early care, where I got to do a lot of fun things with kids, like taste testing, making recipes with them out in the garden and stuff, and like invited parents to come and would always get comments on, how are you getting my kid to eat these things? Because we'd always do a, like a little farm to early care thing in the fall and have them, you know, get stickers when like they tried something and, you know, they could rate like whether it was like a thumbs up, thumbs, you know, to the sideways or thumbs down. We always call it thumbs down, maybe next time they'd like it.
That's so smart. It's better than ew, yuck, which is what I get from my son. Ew, that's a yuck. Thanks, Miller.
Yes. And so always, and like, I was creating the menus. And so I was able to like play with different ways to introduce those veggies to the kids too, or those fruits as well. And so really had a lot of fun about that. And that's really, you know, over time, I just kind of continued to see like this gap. And a lot of my friends started being like, hey, we're thinking about trying to conceive. Can you help me? I'm supposed to be healthy while I'm trying to conceive, but my doctor really hasn't told me like what that means. I've just been told like lose some weight, take a prenatal, or like maybe not like lose weight all the time, but always just like be at your optimal weight, like be at a healthy weight, take a prenatal vitamin and eat healthy. And like my girlfriends were like, I don't know what that means. Like, what does that look like? Right.
I feel like that means so many different things to so many people. Cause like I say this all the time, I have been eating healthy, quote unquote, for years. Right. And yet I'm still not size Amy and I'm pissed about it.
but meanwhile, I eat nothing but trash. I'm a trash panda. So.
But I learn more and more about my own body, right? And like how I can eat for my body. And that's when like, that's why this whole nutrition thing like just keeps blowing my mind, because it's like, you can think you're healthy. Like I don't do sweets or candy or sodas, or like, I'm like, I should be a negative zero at this point. Like, not that that's the goal for everybody. I just want to be healthy. But it's like, it gets really frustrating because you think you can do all the right things to be healthy. But is that really bringing you towards your goal, is my point.
Or is your idea of healthy eating totally off track, period? Because like, I think if you were to just pull the person off the street of, what do you think healthy eating is? They'd probably say, like, limit your sugar, like low fat, low carb diet or something like that, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're eating what you're supposed to for your body and your health goals, et cetera. So I think it's definitely a misunderstood topic, and particularly around Haley, like trying to conceive / pregnancy / postpartum, where your body's already different than it normally is, or you're trying to make it different than it normally is. I mean, it's so complicated.
Yeah, and I think like we forget the fact that we're all different human beings and we're all taking on things differently. Our body is responding differently to like our environment. Our body's responding differently to, you know, your kid could do the same thing that Christina's kid does, and your cortisol might shoot and hers might just like not even know like something happened, right? And so there's different things that, you know, taking in the same situation, our bodies respond to them differently, and our bodies are so unique, and we forget to look at like, what does my body need, right? Like we have all of this information out there about like typically what, you know, nutrient needs increase during your journey, pregnancy, postpartum, but we're not looking at like at the data to go, hey, what are you needing during this time? Because some people, you know, come into pregnancy with a rock star, let's just put iron on the table because that's something that's talked about all the time. They come in with rock star iron labs that they can like sail through pregnancy and not worry about it because they came in with good iron stores, where someone else comes in with really low, and that's going to cause an issue, you know, later on down. And so then we have all these prenatals that are just generically created. And I don't know about you guys, but you go down that aisle and you're like, wait, like these are all different. What am I looking for? I was told just to take one. What I think was the most mind-blowing for me was literally in both of my pregnancies, it was like, you're taking a prenatal, right? Yes. Okay, check. Never which same prenatal.
Yep. Yep. So on that note, what in an ideal world, what would happen when someone, let's just start with pregnancy, like you're pregnant, okay? And you go to your doctor. Like when it comes to nutrition, starting with prenatal and continuing on to diet, what in an ideal world would happen to a woman as she's going through that?
Oh my gosh. First, you'd get the time of your doctor you deserve. That's what I I mean, my first appointment was a long appointment, but there was a lot of things I would say that were not nutrition focused, right? Mm-hmm. I always try to leave out the fact that I was a dietitian during my pregnancies with my healthcare team. So that way they wouldn't, because a lot of times they don't talk to me then about nutrition if they know that. They're like, oh, you know, I don't need to talk to you about it. And I'm like, no, please share with me what you would share with someone who isn't. And why are you assuming that I know? For all you know, I like specialize in geriatric and I know what to do when I'm 80, you know, like, but really ideally what it would happen is like, you would come in, you would like sit down, we would actually look at like, what is your nutrient status at? Like, what are we seeing? Where is your body currently? Like, instead of running just like these generic labs that, you know, at a federal level, we've decided is like the pregnancy cocktail of labs that you need. Like, where is your vitamin D at? Where is like your iron storage? Cause that's something you're going to start relying on. Like getting some personalized labs is saying like, where are we at? And then looking at someone's diet and going like, how has like your intake been, right? Like where, like how is your protein needs? How is your like vegetable, like even the simple things, like where's your veggie intake at? Where's your fruit? Like, how is the balance of your meals and your snacks? How do you balance meals and snacks? Cause a lot of people don't know those things. And women also too don't get that guidance until like they're, most of the time they will not meet with a dietitian until they end up with gestational diabetes.
Yep. I just dodged that bullet with my second. I tested like whatever above the limit on my 1 hour test. So I guess my number was, I don't even remember what it was now, but it was so high that they skipped the 3 hour test and they just were like, yep, we're just going to treat you for diabetes. So then I had to go have a consult with the, whatever that person was. I don't even think she was a dietitian. I think it was like a
health coach.
Yeah. Like a health coach of some kind. And she was helpful in explaining what was happening. Like I didn't actually even understand what they were testing for and what the results meant and stuff. So she actually did a great job of explaining what was happening in my body to get these results. And we did talk a little bit about my eating, but it was more about when I was eating and the quantity over what I was eating, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it was more like, I'm a snacker. I eat many small meals throughout the day and during pregnancy even more so. And so we kind of talked through that and I had to test my blood sugar for this entire time until whatever it was. And I never had a single blood test at home that was above the limit ever. I could house a half a box of like Frosted Flakes, or I could have an egg. No difference at all. So that was kind of frustrating.
That's super frustrating because at the same time too, like that's where, I mean, the 1 hour test, like we're the one country that does it. And that's, the other tests are more accurate than our 1 hour is. But it's cheaper in our healthcare system to do it that way. The directions aren't always the same. Like I find like one provider will say you need to fast and another mm-hmm. provider will be like, nah, just eat however you want to eat. And so then you're also kind of like impacting, like if I'm someone who ate like that, you know, you said like Raisin Bran before I walked in because I was told to eat how I normally eat. Like now I have those Raisin Bran carbs with my glucose carbs that are coming in my system versus someone who decided to fast and now is just like dumping that glucose, right?
So 100%.
That literally happens to the two of apples.
Like, my poor fingertips. They're mad.
Yes. Yes. But
so this is a wonderful segue into like, I want to do some myth busting, especially around pregnancy and nutrition, because I feel like the one thing you do get told when you get pregnant is like, well, now you can't eat deli meat, sushi, you know, well, obviously don't drink alcohol, da 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 da. My first, I did most of those things. I still had, please don't judge me too much, but I still had Jersey Mike's. Like, I remember being in Portugal and having like a little bit of wine with a lot of water. Just like, I was like, just a little bit. Like, if the Europeans can do it, it should be okay, right? But like, what are some of those myths that you're like, girl, that ain't true, or it's true-ish?
So I think the big thing that we often skip over is like weighing the pros and the cons to things. Like oftentimes people like the risk versus the benefit. Like people forget that that's why I always say, like, let's talk about like the facts in it. And then let's talk about how, now that you know those facts, like, what does that mean to you, right? When you know that when it comes to deli meat, like for instance, being a typical situation, oftentimes people are just told like you can't eat deli meat. But they're not told, you know, like this is how we reduce our risk of it, first off. And then secondly, too, like they're not told like, and then that's their only protein source. They're like, I don't know what else to do here. So like with deli meat, your risk is one in every 83,000 servings in pregnant women, right? So that looks different to every person on like, okay, like how big is that of a risk? Like you're more likely to get a foodborne illness actually from your fruits and your veggies because those are constantly being like recalled. But of course, we don't want people to stray away from them. So we don't say that, right? But so then we talk about deli meats like, okay, like let's educate someone on if the only thing you can eat for a protein source that's going to keep your nausea at bay, like is deli meat. Like I talked to my clients about, you know, one, we can heat that deli meat. Two, where we're buying it, the quality of it matters. And three, we can also like, if we don't feel good about this idea, we can also cook like turkey breasts ourselves or chicken breasts at home and have, or like have our significant other do it because, you know, sometimes we just can't smell it, you know, and have our significant other cut it in to those like deli, like typical slices and put it in the fridge for us, right? Like then we've cut out that middle person or like a lot of those spots where like the contamination can happen, right? So I think that it's more empowering, impacting and letting it be someone's decision on like what they want to do moving forward, right? So, you know, I think a lot of times, like what we do is we instill this fear in women all the time. We're like, here you are, Christina, being like, don't judge me. This is what I did. And it's not a judgment space. That's why I always say too, though, like some women though too, if they ate that deli sandwich, let's say, they would think about it for a week afterwards and it would just.
It's me. Yeah. Hi, it's me. Hi, yeah. It's me. I would rather do anything in the whole wide world than open up a 0.00001% chance of anything related to vomit. So no lunch meat for me. Thank you so much. But Christina, you enjoy it. Enjoy.
See, and that's like, and that's too what I say, like you have to take in the mental health aspect of it too. Is it going to be something that you consume and you're going to feel guilty for it? Or if something does happen, you're going to be like, it's all my fault, right? Because then like we're having a more risk here than we are having a benefit from it. And so, you know, when it comes to deli meat, that's one of the things, and that's what it happens with all of a lot of the, like the foods that are on the don't eat list. I feel like, why do we even say like, don't eat? Like, here are some of your foods that could be at a higher risk than your typical foods. But then you're going to have to put your fruits and your veggies on there too, because it's true. And, you know, we decrease the risk of getting, you know, foodborne illnesses from them by washing them. If we don't, you know, don't feel good about them being raw, then we cook them. Like we bring them to a temperature that helps, you know, kill that off. You know, so that's why I always say like there's not one food out there that's 100% safe, because guys, like packaged foods get recalled too. And you can't walk through the next 9 months of your life, like feeling fearful of everything that's going in your mouth. It's just one of those things where every time you really eat something, you're taking on a risk at the end of the day. But at the same time too, like we have immune systems for a reason. Like, you know, we are exposed to things on a regular basis. And yes, during pregnancy is our immune system suppressed. But if we're having like a well-balanced diet and we're, you know, keeping a, you know, a good immune system too, like there's a lot of things that we'll fight off without even knowing that we consume them too. So like your body is so smartly made. You know, that's why too, like when you're trying to conceive, your body needs to feel safe to take on a pregnancy, because if it doesn't, like it's not going to. We've been taught that like our menstrual cycle is like more or less like it's a burden to have, when really when you learn about your menstrual cycle and how much it actually does for your body, you realize how important of a sign of your health as a female your menstrual cycle really truly is. And I know I'm speaking against a lot of how people feel about their menstrual cycle. And so I'm, you know, probably, you know, bad opinion, but like as you learn about it and how it shows like how your hormones are balancing and all that stuff, like we want to make sure that your body feels safe and so it doesn't attack that. So it is going to suppress your immune system because it is technically seen as a foreign body when that process starts to happen. And so that is why it is suppressed. And then during that time,
I mean, like file under what I wish I knew, it's hella hard to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. It's so like you go through most of your life for freaking out about potentially getting pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And then suddenly you want to get pregnant and it's really fucking hard. And like you only can do it on a certain day at a specific hour if like the moon is in a certain place. Yeah.
You know, it makes you think back on people like who accidentally get pregnant. Christina, and be like, wow, I mean, the planets really, truly, literally did align for that to happen without you trying the first time, I should say.
Well, I mean, my second pregnancy, we didn't try either. But I think, and this is where nutrition became really important to me. So I had a miscarriage in my second pregnancy. And then we got pregnant again for the third time on purpose. But like, I look back at where I was health-wise, and I was not taking care of myself before I had that miscarriage. And then I remember where I was and where my husband was. We were both taking mm-hmm. really good care of our bodies before I got pregnant with Olivia. And I think that actually made a difference, mm-hmm. especially my husband. But maybe I'm just putting too much pressure on him that, you know.
No, they're 50% of the problem. Like they're 50% of the whole equation in general. Like we have such good research that shows like how much like male nutrition or like not even just nutrition, but male's health, like the sperm's health is so impactful to like just when the baby starts developing, impacts women's symptoms during pregnancy, like all kinds of things. So no, it's not like something where I would say like you just like push it to the side being like, man, maybe that was it. But I mean, when I was learning on the male side, I mean, I was like, so I'm going to need you to figure out a couple of things because if I forget it, symptoms because you're not taking care of yourself, we've got problems.
Your fault.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about like the importance of nutrition at different stages. So like trying to conceive is obviously, if somebody is paying enough attention, I think, to their nutrition when they're trying to conceive, they're obviously having obstacles. I don't know how to put mm-hmm. it the most sensitive way. But what are some things when you're trying to conceive that nutrition can play a role in?
So biggest things I would say is that one, that's where like our menstrual cycle can tell us a lot of what's going on. Like, how is it? What's the length of it? Are we seeing cervical mucus? Like, that's just like our body showing us. Also to like, how's that sex drive, right? Like we should be seeing like a good peak in our sex drive when it's time to ovulate. Cause that's our body's way of being like, all right, it's time. But you know, it's really about improving that egg quality, balancing your hormones and really just improving those nutrient stores, right? Because egg quality impacts like the longevity of baby, like and their longevity of life. Then also, you know, you're like balancing hormones because hormones are doing all kinds of things. I mean, I could talk for days on everything that like they're doing, right? And then at the same time, like optimizing those nutrient stores, because I don't think a lot of people understand that a lot of symptoms are tied to oftentimes deficiencies when you're coming into pregnancy. And there's a lot that we can do on a nutrition standpoint to also decrease risk of gestational diabetes, of preeclampsia, of those different things as we see like nutrients, minerals, and all of that. And so really I always say like you're kind of like setting up your army in your preconception space to get through some of those maybe tough times for your body to have those stores to rely on. Just like when we talked about that iron space, like if you come in with a good iron storage, an optimal iron storage, not just like what we, you know, like diagnostic wise that we think you should have, you have something to rely on while those needs are higher during your pregnancy journey, and a place where you can kind of like a majority of the time sit back and let your body like take what it needs, right? So, you know, it's really just nourishing that egg quality, really building those nutrient reserves to like rely on, especially too when you go into postpartum. We forget that postpartum, you know, like pregnancy is a very taxing time in our body. Preconception, then pregnancy is very taxing. But postpartum, especially if you are supplying nutrients for your baby, so you choose to offer breast milk to them from your body, you are like at the most nutrition, like the most nutrient expensive time of your life. And how you come through those depleting stages, it like really sets you up for that postpartum, because as you guys have been through like that, especially that first child, there's a lot of things we can't prep women for during that first part of those, I would say, you know, first like 3 months of postpartum, right? And so the better you come into that space, then we're decreasing that postpartum anxiety, depression, and depletion stage that we don't usually see until women are like 3-6 months postpartum. And so I think we forget that, you know, our body is like a system that's moving through these stages with us.
I think what's so interesting is, interesting in a bad way probably, is we struggled to conceive our second and ended up going through IVF. But even in our initial consultation with the fertility clinic, there was very little conversation about nutrition. Mm-hmm. There were a few conversations around like, oh, you should be on these vitamins, you know, male supplements, whatever, like on both ends, we need to be, you know, optimizing our bodies or whatever. But there was almost no talk about nutrition, like asking about our nutrition, asking if we wanted more information about it, talking about the role that it might play. I mean, it was almost absent of the conversation.
It's crazy too, because I have a lot of clients who go through IUI or IVF when they're coming to me. And one of my questions is always like, so why are we on these supplements? Like, what is the purpose of them? Like, cause I'll see their labs and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know why you're at 10,000 IUs of vitamin D when you have a vitamin D lab of 72. Like, what are we like? And most of the time it's just like, oh, I just got a sheet. And it was kind of like, these are the nutrients that you need to be consuming in your supplements and at these levels. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, we'll just need to talk to them and see if we can make some switches on here. But it's very interesting because some clinics too will be like, oh no, you need to see a dietitian to talk about that. Like, I have some clients who like their IVF clinic will not talk nutrition to them. Like they've told them that they need to see a dietitian, which is great. But they won't talk nutrition at all to them either too. So it's very,
just another way we have to advocate for ourselves.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Yeah. And so then, you know, of course, like during pregnancy, we're really supporting baby's development. You know, we have those nutrient needs that skyrocket, and that's really to support baby's like rapid growth, our placenta developing, right? We get to build that whole cool new organ. I call it cool because it does so many fun things. And then just like, you know, overall, like mom's well-being, you know, we're just thinking of, you know, key nutrients, you know, proteins. I like to like bring in protein because often it's something, I know that it's like something that's being overshined right now, but at the same time, it brings in a lot of nutrients that we're looking for, you know, that helps build baby's tissues, helps blood sugar balance. You know, the second half of pregnancy, we see an increased need for those, for that protein. But a lot of times too, I do see a low intake of protein, unfortunately. And it's really important to help with balancing those blood sugars, keeping that fatigue, keeping cravings at bay. And then of course, like that, you know, the fourth trimester is really that healing, recovery, and like preventing like those things that we talked about, the anxiety, the depression, the depletion, the burnout, and really helping you rebuild your nutrient stores, you know, to the fact with your second pregnancy. I mean, I think that we forget too, like, we are coming into our second, our third, our fourth pregnancies in such a different body than what we came into our first pregnancies for. And I feel like we think that like our body all of a sudden is not working for us, but it's just our body has different needs in our different seasons of life, right? Like, we weren't chasing toddlers around when we were trying to conceive our first, right? We weren't having uninterrupted sleep. We weren't like having all this stress of balancing motherhood and the meal planning and the million things I could list off as a list of what most women have on their to-daily to-do list, you know? So I think we forget about that too sometimes, that we come into those next pregnancies in a different space. And our body went through a whole lot that we tend to not give it credit for that first journey we went through too.
I mean, like, tend to not give it credit for. Haley, like, we have to advocate for ourselves so much that, like, we have to pay out of pocket oftentimes for a dietitian like yourself to, like, give us what we need because we're not getting it from our OB or our family doctor. And not by, like, and I don't want to blame our family doctors or our OBs because they specialize in what they specialize in, mm-hmm. right? But, like, it's a case of knowing what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, never has a dietitian been recommended to me, nor has it been like, okay, your insurance is going to cover this or it's not going to cover this. Oftentimes it's like, you know, it mm-hmm. has to come out of your own pocket, or you have to do your own research to figure it out for yourself because you might not have that money, right? Because not all mothers are loaded enough to get the optimal care that they need. And I think that's the most frustrating part for me constantly, is how much mm-hmm. I've had to learn. And that's the whole point of why we started What I Wish I Knew, because it's like, the amount of things that I had to learn myself is upsetting. It's just, it makes me irate.
Mm-hmm.
And nutrition, I think, is one of those, because everything that you're mentioning feels like it's a duh.
Well, I mean, you guys should have seen me. Like, I was a dietitian for, what, my son's 4 now. So, you know, 5 years, let's say. And working in this space. And when we started looking at trying to conceive, I was like, I know how important, like, I've read the first 1,000 days and all these other things that, you know, all this research about why, like, how preconception health of mom, you know, impacts, like, our childhood obesity rates and all these things, right? Like, I've been in this, and I literally walked into my doctor's appointment, and the first time she had asked me, like, oh, are you guys trying to conceive yet? I was like, nope, not yet. Don't want to talk about this. And then the second time I walked in, I was like, okay, like, you know, you said you needed to know. So here we are, we're thinking about it. What do I need to do? You know, and the whole, just stop your birth control about a month before, have a cycle. And then you can start trying. And it's that easy. I was like, it is not that easy. I know that. And how do we know? And, you know, she was like, oh, you're healthy, it's fine. I'm like, am I? Like,
I'm picturing you, Haley, going into your doctor's appointment with, like, just a big stack of, like, studies, being like, oh, yeah? Tell me about this!
I will tell you guys that I think that is the hardest part about me, is me using the healthcare system, because I like, need that OB who sits with me and understands. I know too much at this point in time. And my last OB even, too, would be, I was like, I need my vitamin D checked. Why? And I'm like, okay, do you want me to give you the 10, 15 plus studies of how vitamin E, like, D impacts, like, X, Y, and Z? Like, do we need to go into that? And thankfully, though, like, a lot of OBs are really great if you can tell them, like, one, I'm working with a dietitian and she needs it. And two, you know, if you'd like for her to send you some research, she definitely will. And or, like, the reasons why. So all the time, too. I mean, it is kind of crazy, like, how much pushback we get. But my last OB, I was very spoiled with just, hey, let's pull up your PubMed and, like, let's look at some research together. And he was completely fine with it. So I think that it makes it a little hard to use a healthcare system when I'm like, that can't be it. But I had a full on, like, pretty much, I feel like a panic attack to my husband. I was like, we didn't think about this ahead of time. Like, I started, like, reading the research, and I'm like, we should have been thinking about this, like, 5 months ago, like, all this. And he was like, you need to calm down. And I was like,
it really opens your eyes. It does, though. Christina and I are like, we hate the phrase, like, oh, like, every baby's a miracle, cherish every moment. Because on the flip side, we're like, sometimes you really just want to not cherish this moment. But if you think about it scientifically, every baby is a mother effing miracle. Mm-hmm. That whether you are paying attention to your nutrition or not, whether you're trying or not, whether all the situations are optimal, like, all these things, and babies are still born all the time, that's miraculous to me. Mm-hmm. And the more you learn about it, the more it's like, it's almost like I don't want to know, kind of, because, like, the more I know, the more I worry of, like, oh God, the chances of this happening perfectly twice. I don't know. What are the chances of me having a perfect baby twice? I don't know. Like, then I start spiraling. But if you are able to kind of, like, pull back or have an expert helping you make some of those decisions that will, you know, lead you to hopefully a better outcome. Obviously, that's better than just having to go out and Google everything 24 hours a day.
Well, yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, like, it doesn't, like, I don't know about what you guys get, but I get very conflicting things when I just try to see what I can. And there's even things too where I've asked Google when I know the answer and I'm like, that's not the answer. Like, and nothing in my, like, nothing. I mean, I, you know, things are controlled at the back end of things. And that's a whole different kind of conversation. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I think it's like back to that food safety conversation, though. It's just like your journey is unique to you and your significant other. And I always tell first time moms this is that there is not one right choice for how you do things with your baby. And there's no one right choice how you do things with your pregnancy. The right choice is what feels best to you and your significant other and your family. And when you have that baby, what works for you guys? Because what works for me and my husband may not work for you and your husband. You know what I mean? And all of our kids are so different too. And so it's really figuring out. And like, that's why with my program and stuff, I'm so big and it's not something I'll ever lose is the personalized side of it. The one-on-one that I do with my clients, because I honestly feel that everyone is so different and so unique, and what works for them does not work for someone else. And it's really figuring out what works for you. None of our diets look the same. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to just throw you a meal plan, because that's not going to help you, especially if you're eating like other foods. My thing is like, okay, how can we take what you're eating, see the nutrients we're missing, and work to be filling those gaps off of those? And where do you say like, Haley, I ain't eating fish, so you better figure out how we're going to get that DHA in somewhere else, right? And that's fine. Like I tell my clients all the time, be so bluntly and like vulnerable and open with me, because if you're not, like, I can't help you, right? Like if you're like, yes, Haley, I understand that DHA is good, I will try to figure out how to get fish in my diet. And then I'm continuing to check in with you and you're not doing that. And you're like, you know, 3 weeks down.
I hate fish.
I can't eat fish. I'm like, why didn't you just tell me? We could have had this figured out 3 weeks ago, you know? So I just think that that's like a huge thing that's lost, is just that we just think that like there's this like this cookie cutter path we need to go down and it's the same for everybody, and it's just not.
Well, given that, let me ask a little question out of left. What's that field? I'm going to come out of left field with a question. Given that everyone eats differently, everyone's nutrition needs are different, et cetera, et cetera. Given all that, what's your like go-to meal to bring to a postpartum mom?
You know, big things for me are like stews and soups are big for me because they're very nourishing, especially right at that beginning point. So like a good like grass-fed beef stew with like a lot of veggies in it because they're like cooked. You've got good like bone broth in there. You've got good iron. You've got like electrolytes, minerals, like the whole nine yards. And what's best about it is you can make a big batch of it, deliver some unthawed, and then deliver some of it frozen for like another time. But then at the same time, like don't forget the snacks. Because that, I like literally, I will never forget after my first, one of my friends literally delivered like cut up veggies, dips, like meat sticks, like all of the snacks. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever received, because everyone's thinking about the food. They forget about the snacks. So I always do as well come in with like energy ball, like protein energy balls, like cut up veggies, washed fruit, like those types of things too, because you know how hard it is as moms to not be able to like grab something that you need. And so I always think like my goal is to make that part the easy part. But I will say like soup, stews, and curries are like really easy to get a lot of nutrient dense things in there that are really nourishing for that postpartum period. And so they're definitely something I lean more into.
Good to know.
GTK. Yeah. Okay, Haley, we are kind of wrapping into our end time. So I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you wanted to say that we haven't covered yet?
You know, no. I mean, there's always like a million things we could talk about, but
I have one other question for you, which is around when someone is pregnant, first trimester, you mentioned a little bit of nausea earlier. I think nutrition in the period of time of pregnancy, when everything that you see, smell, hear, taste, or think about makes you want to barf, what to do?
What do we do?
So I always say cold, bland foods are your best friend. I always tell women it's best, like, if we can put like a little bit of like a list in their phone or something of like the things that you can tolerate a little bit. So that way we're not, a lot of times the problem is like we're going to the fridge and we're like, what out of here do I want, right? Versus kind of looking at this list and being like, I can tolerate yogurt. I know I can tolerate, you know, like I really like fruit right now, like berries. And I feel like also leaning into that. And I always say, like, really thinking about, like, okay, what does my body want? Nuts, seeds are really great at this time. Protein bars are really great. Again, those energy bites are great at this time. I would say, like, you know, using, like, protein source of any, like, carb-based source. You know, this might be the time where you, like, you know, get, like, Bonza, like waffles instead of like other waffles, right? Just to have a little bit of those protein, legume, lentil, noodles, you know, easy things to kind of like make sure you're getting like good protein in the things that you can eat, right? And like the things that you can tolerate just to balance it out and bring in those blood sugars. You know, eating first thing in the morning is super helpful with those bedside snacks. That's one of the things, like if you're waking up with nausea, you need to eat something before your feet hit the ground. Whether that's someone's bringing it to you or you have like a basket inside your drawer in your nightstand, I don't care. You need to eat something before you get out of the bed. And then you need to try to eat or drink something. Smoothies are really great. Yogurt bowls are really great at this time. It just, you know, depends like what are your diet? Like, what does that look like? And then what are the things that like you can still tolerate that are good? But I always say go for cold and bland.
I'm surprised my daughter didn't come out as a pickle.
That's because fine.
Ate so many pickles in my first trimester, and same goes for pizza rolls for my first. Again, no judgment, but I ate a lot of pizza rolls.
I mean, sour things are so, I mean, like you're getting like good probiotics right there with your cucumber, like with those, you know, pickles as well. And so in like salt, I mean, your body probably needed some good old sodium and good, some good old salt. Yeah. Especially towards the end of pregnancy, people forget that like they need like more, like as your fluids are increasing internally, like you need more of your sodium, potassium, you know, magnesium, your minerals in general. And so people forget that. And like your body is smart. Your body was like, girl, I need some sodium. Can you go eat those pickles, please? And you eat the whole jar. I'm okay with that because I actually can do something with this. Thank you very much. But it's like those types of things. That's what it's like, finding those things that you can tolerate. And just like also too, what I say is like, what does your body want? And then like, what is something that you can tolerate that lets you have something you need, right? Like if you can, if it's crackers, okay, like can we tolerate putting some peanut butter on it or maybe putting like a cheese stick with it? Like what's something that we can easily do where we're going to like help our blood sugars out a little bit? Because oftentimes those blood sugar spikes and bottoming out, like just like the crashing of them is really big on your, like with that intensity of your nausea and stuff. And when people can do that, like, I mean, someone who's a small frequent meal snack eater, it like that's golden because you're just keeping those blood sugars. I always say what you learn in your first trimester will end up coming back to what you need to do in your third trimester.
That's actually interesting. I did revert back more to snacking in my third, also because I felt kind of full all the time. Like I never could tolerate a full meal. And normally I don't really eat like huge meals, but I was so full that I would just, it was the same thing. I felt like I was hungry all the time and I would eat, trying to maintain this like level of like, I'm full, but not too full. I'm full, but not too full.
Yeah.
Until baby came.
And that's what I say. I'm like, the thing, cause like what you learn in that first trimester is small, frequent meals, because that's what you're going to need in that third trimester when you're feeling full really quickly. And then you're also learning like, okay, what are some like really nutrient dense things that I can bring in that don't take up a lot of room, right? A lot of nuts, a lot of seeds, a lot of like smoothies, like liquid sources, bone broths, like those things. Like if we can bring those in, we can also really support those increased needs in our third trimester without the space in our stomach, right? I would say you kind of get like a little bit of a break in your second trimester and you get to kind of return back to like maybe a little bit of how you ate pre-pregnancy in like the way you do and like the quantities and stuff. But then your third trimester, when that baby is starting to take up all the room, then it's like, oh, sorry, back to trimester one where you have to like remember these things that we learned to do it again. So
but I want people to know where they can find you so they can work with you or, you know, download any of your guides or workshops or whatever it is that you're promoting these days.
Yeah. So you can find me at prenatal.nutritionist on Instagram. Also, my website's nutritionwithhaley.com. My freebies are in my link in bio on my Instagram or on my website. I have a different freebie pretty much for every different season of your journey. I'm very easily to be get a hold of in my DMs. And so I always say, like, don't hesitate to reach out to me in my DMs. If you like look at my freebies and you're like, Haley, where is this? Like, can I get that? I'll put it on my to-do list of perfect. Like, here's another freebie I can add to my list for you guys to download and all that fun stuff. So please let me know your questions. If there's things that you'd like to see on my Instagram, in my stories, in my freebies, I'm like open to it. I do it for everyone. So feedback is always welcomed. And then if you're looking for more of that personalized nutrition support and you're ready to feel confident and just empowered during your journey, check out my Nourish Baby and Me Foundations program. That's where I'm going to help. That's where I help women prepare for, you know, not only trying to conceive pregnancy and also support them during their postpartum journey, just because I believe that everyone should have the care that they deserve. And so at the same time too, that way they can also feel good and enjoy the journey, because it's a crucial chapter of your life. And I'm beyond blessed when I get to be a part of it. So I know that decision's not taken lightly, and I don't take my relationships with my clients lightly either. So those are the places you can find me.
You're amazing, Haley. Thank you so much for imparting all of your wisdom and knowledge on us. We're like little sponges.
And I'm always here to, if you got questions, just let me know.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great to meet you.
If you found something helpful, insightful, or just plain reassuring in this episode, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And if you have a moment, leaving a quick review helps more parents find us.
We're also always looking for great guests, so if you know someone or that someone is you, please reach out. You can find us at whatiwishiknew_ or whatiwishiknew.life.
Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay sane, stay calm, or at least fake it until bedtime.